Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Please tell me you like De La Soul.
Come on. Are you serious? That's disrespectful.
Serious. Why is it disrespectful?
Do it's I like De La Soul? Oh, come on. But I'm a hip-hop head.
I know. But once again, I had to ask. I don't want to assume anything.
You crazy, man. I feel disrespected. Dude. That you can't put the Brady Bunch in the
and in the NBA
in the same realm as De La Soul.
I didn't put it in the same realm.
We got to play that Me, Myself, and I though, Tom. You got that over there.
Yeah, we do like that.
Little
potholes in my lawn.
Little Serato that you're working with. But yeah, of course, man. Okay. I do my hip hop homework. That's something that is important to me. Brady Bunch, not the same caliber.
Fair enough. 800-919-3776. All right, so we'll table the NBA stuff here, but we'll get back because there's plenty to get to. Jeff Van Gundy has some changes to the game that he suggested that we've got to discuss this and more. But we have been living in this wonderful honeymoon since Aaron Rodgers officially became a Jet. Since he uttered those words, the second most famous words ever said in Jets history. You know what those words are, right?
My intention is to play for the New York Jets.
Correct.
Which becomes number one as early as potentially next February in Vegas.
February 11th.
Could become
2024.
The greatest phrase in Jet franchise history.
It could.
For me.
Know. Do you really move it ahead of we're going to win, I guarantee it? We're going to win, I guarantee it.
Just for me, it happened, but I
it's the first one.
It happened. It did, but it was, you know, in 69. That happened in 69. If you get the first one since then, and I was able to actually consume it in its entirety, the whole season, the playoff run, the game.
All right, so for you, it
would
move
it becomes number one.
I think you're out of your
mind. Not for everyone. You didn't even see the game.
So what? It happened. Why do I have to see it?
Of course, it happened.
Today, Lou Gehrig Day. Luckiest man on the face of the earth. I didn't see it, but I don't have to have seen it to know that is one of the most iconic, I mean, sports moments.
Well, of course.
As far as like Yankee history.
But that's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about how iconic it is in franchise history. I'm saying me. As a fan, and if I'm creating a personal preference list of what I think of as far as the greatest
it'll
sayings,
mean more to you.
This one,
because it would have brought you
one.
A championship.
Yes. Yeah, I got
I
to
get
see it.
It.
It's also my favorite quarterback.
Completely get it.
So completely it hits differently. It.
Fair enough. How does this hit? Stephen A's World last night, which is the alt broadcast of the NBA Finals, where Stephen A hangs out with people. And wait till you hear on audio files when he had Josh Hart on. But this is Peyton Manning that was part of Stephen A's world. And, of course, Stephen A had to get into Peyton about the Jets and the addition of Aaron Rodgers. And here's what Peyton had to say.
I like Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. He's excited. I like the fact that he knows the system. Hackett's the coordinator. Aaron's going to be able to speak the language. He's going to be able to know the system better than anybody in that huddle. He's going to be able to play fast. He's not going to be thinking out there. And I saw him recently at the Kentucky Derby. I can tell he feels rejuvenated. I like the Jets this year.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm all of a sudden now, I'm really worried.
You know where my mind goes. Peyton Manning once loved a personnel decision the Jets made. Loved it so much because he was on the phone with Christopher Johnson, the owner.
Peyton Manning called me.
Gotta hire this guy. And we see how that worked out. So, okay, Peyton, guys, with all due respect, you are a legend, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. That is a kiss of death, you being all over
Peyton
something.
Peyton went KOD on us.
He's kiss of death. Because this is, listen, one time is a mistake. The second, the whole Tennessee thing, I've never been able to forgive him for that, where he just left
but
the Jets
Bill
Parcells, hanging.
No, Bill Parcells wouldn't promise him anything. That's really what that was about.
Sure, but
what that was about. Bill Parcells
wouldn't
promise him anything.
Being the, I get it. He wouldn't promise
he wanted
that he
a guarantee.
Him. He
and he wouldn't
Joe
give
Namath
it to him because
Gramsci.
Parcells was too stubborn to give it to him. That's the story I've heard many times.
No, I understand it, but still, you went back to school and you had a chance to be taken by the New York Jets. So I hold that against you. You can do the Which whole one pie is more chart.
You ready for this? Which one is more painful? All they had to do was tell Peyton Manning, yes, we guarantee, we promise we're taking you number one, right? And you have Peyton Manning in 97, right?
97, yeah.
Or 1978, the Knicks did not draft Larry Bird because he wouldn't guarantee that he would come right away to New York because he wanted to stay in school another year. And I know that sounds crazy, but back then that was still going on. Guys were like, you can draft me, but I think I want to play one more year of college. He did. He stayed. And Red Auerbach didn't care. He drafted him and then spent a whole year just convincing him to sign with Boston before the next draft. See, the rules were if you were drafted by a team, you could stay in school, you could wait the year out, and if you don't sign, you can go back in the draft. So if you like, I love that. And I think the NBA should still have that. A player could have the option of, I ain't playing there. So if you draft me, I'm going back in the draft.
Yeah,
I'm going to stay in college.
I don't like that.
And I'll go where I'd rather go.
And then you
force the team to trade your rights somewhere else, and then you have more control. And now I'm not stuck with a really great player in a market he don't want to be in, and now I lose that player. Anyways, I'm off topic. Point is that the Knicks at that time in the late 70s wouldn't take the risk, and they instead drafted Michael Ray Richardson. So they could have had Larry Bird, and they chose not to take the risk and work on getting Larry Bird and signing him and all that stuff. Red Auerbach took the risk and it paid off handsomely. So that's that one, or Parcells refusing to tell Peyton Manning, we're definitely taking you number one.
Well, just for me, this one hits home because I'm a Jets fan.
You're a Jets fan, right.
And that Bird one,
you got to admit, that Bird one's
pretty epic.
Not many people know that story.
I mean, you could literally create like a star-studded, all-star lineup of guys you could have or should have had.
You know about how Scottie Pippen could have been a Knick?
What happened there?
They traded pick that to Seattle, I think it was Seattle, for Gerald Henderson, and that pick then was conveyed to Chicago, who then used that pick to take Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, that's the only reason why Jordan became good, according to Scottie Pippen. Prior to that, he sucked.
He's so bitter. But back to the Jets real quick. So Peyton loves what he sees. Okay, how about Dan Orlovsky? On with Pat McAfee. He says something. Now this is when you know. Like, have we reached ludicrous speed yet when it comes to the Jets going from a laughingstock to everybody's favorite and everybody's darling? Take a listen to this.
I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of the Jets fans that I talk to, like around here, and there's a ton of them, are way more hesitant, pessimistic than I am. I don't know if I've ever seen this Aaron Rodgers. You know, like, Aaron seems to be happy. He seems to be having fun. He's also obviously going to still be ticked off and chip on his shoulder from the Green Bay stuff and whatnot. So I think it's a good thing for what's going on with the Jets. The fact that he's there, I mean, it's obviously New York City, and there's a ton going on. It's the best time to be in New York. I honestly believe that they are set up to be one of the teams that can beat Kansas City.
Love Dan, but he was also the guy comparing Zach Wilson to Patrick Mahomes, and he was supposed to take that next step. Love Orlovsky, but we know sometimes he can get drunk on the juice.
Optimism.
He's as optimistic as they come.
The Owen Orlovsky is optimism. He is the most optimistic human being you'll ever meet. He is a guy that's hard not to feed off his energy. He really is when you're around him. He's just an energetic guy, a very positive guy. But that's one that even the most diehard green glasses Jet fan, that would make you blush.
Ira in Staten Island is not even going there. I said this to you the other day. There are certain teams that you just – certain teams led by all-time great players that you just have that respect for, where there's really nothing you can do in the regular season that'll lead you to believe that you're overcoming them until you actually do it. Like, we saw it, you know, with all the LeBron teams, right? Mm-hmm. And we saw it firsthand with Brady and the Pats. With the Chiefs, they've reached such a level – that there is nothing the Jets can do in the regular season. And that includes beating them when they played in week four. The Jets could go 17 and 0 during the regular season. And I'm still going to be shaking in my boots thinking about the prospect of them having to play the Chiefs in the playoffs. It has to happen in order for me to think that they can actually beat them.
Which one has you more nervous? The Jets having to face the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl, or the Yankees facing the Astros again to get to the World Series? Which one are you more optimistic about?
That's a really
good
question.
To have both of those scenarios this year, right? At the end of this season, you're going to have both those scenarios. If I told you now, you got to pick one that you believe. Like, you put your money on the one and you'll triple your money. Which one are you putting on the one that this is the one that's going to hit? I'm going to guarantee you one of them's going to hit. Which one are you putting your money on?
So I was leaning Yankees because, you know, the Astros just keep losing guys, and it hasn't mattered.
Because nobody beats us four straight times, right?
It hasn't mattered. But Ray Deanahan just made a good point about how anything can happen in one game. So the odds of the upset increase when you have a one-game sample versus a seven-game series.
Right. And different pitchers.
Different pitchers, and, you know, injuries can
happen.
It's
not like I've got to, like, I play them three times, and I've got to play Zach Wilson in the next game, yeah. And then my third starter is Tim Boyle, and then I might go with an opener with Chris Shevler. Shevler.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't know, like, but this is different. I got one pitcher, and I got one game.
And at least with the Jets, for the first time.
So your money's going on the Jets, you're saying, yeah. To beat the Chiefs.
But just because
then Olafsky's not crazy.
The odds, I don't think they've caught up to him.
He didn't say caught up. He said that they are set up
but
to
that's
be able
obvious.
To beat them.
That's obvious, right?
They have a defense.
When you add,
they have three layers of defense to throw at them, so you'll never get tired. Your front line, you can wear down their offensive line. You've got corners that can handle what Mahomes is going to do to you, right? I mean, right now, Kadarius Toney's their best wide receiver, right?
Yeah, but Kelce is their best weapon.
Okay, do they have pieces that can guard him at least?
No one in the NFL does.
All right, you know.
I just saw. Here's my problem. I just saw Patrick Mahomes win a Super Bowl on one damn leg.
It's true.
Against the best team I thought in the NFL, led by a guy who, in my mind, if he didn't get hurt,
right,
could have been
the running
MVP.
Back taken in the 15th round from Rutgers.
Yes. So it's going to take. I got to see zeros on the clock. No flags. Check no flags with the Jets winning in that game in order for me to really believe they're going to beat the
Chiefs.
And
you'll believe it happened.
And look, I'm optimistic.
And even then, you'll wait for like there to be a review.
Yeah, some last two-minute report where, for the first time ever, we're actually changing the outcome of the game.
Stop the game. they make you replay it?
That's how good the Chiefs are. That's how legendary Mahomes is. He's the best quarterback. There's a stat out there where, like, trailing games, no one has a higher winning percentage.
Yeah, it's nuts.
You know, than Patrick Mahomes.
He's just, that's what he is. It's crazy, but that's what he's become. And he's reached that point now where that's who you're, every team in the league that has a quarterback that they believe in, and that includes the Philadelphia Eagles, who kind of stumbled upon Jalen Hurts. I mean, they did draft him, but then they realized, oh, we got something special here, and then he became the man. Like, everybody in the league, maybe there's one, and I'll tell you who it is. Maybe you can guess. But everybody else in the league looks and goes, can our guy beat Mahomes? There's one team that I think doesn't think that way.
Cincinnati. You
know, yes.
Does he beat him already?
Because he's beat him already, but it's also because of who Joe just Burrow just has that confidence about him that you figure like I'll take Joe Burrow into a fight. I'll take him into a fight. But everybody else, even Herbert, Josh Allen, like there's guys that you still go, he's flawed enough that I'm not confident. And Aaron Rodgers, the only thing that you would say that would hesitate in who would you take, Mahomes or Rodgers right now in a game, is that Aaron Rodgers is 40.
Yeah.
But if Aaron Rodgers at Mahomes' age versus Mahomes at Mahomes' age right now, would you take Rodgers? Not easy.
That's
all I needed to know.
It's
the hesitation tells me that, okay,
because Mahomes has already
Paul.
Won more than Rodgers has
Correct.
In his entire career.
Correct.
And that has to matter.
Yeah, it does matter.
And we can't be prisoner of the moment, but Mahomes, we said this about Rodgers in his
You're
prime.
You're making
he
it out to
throws.
Now Mahomes is already one of the greatest quarterbacks
is,
in the history
though.
Of the sport.
He is.
So you're
you
all right,
can't
let's
argue
do this history
that.
Wise. In his all right, prime Brady, prime Mahomes. Who you
taking? I'm taking Brady. Brady is the greatest of all time.
So you're already saying I'm not taking prime Rodgers versus prime Mahomes, right?
No, I'm saying it's a tough question. It's tough.
Tough. Okay, fair enough. So it's a push. Prime Peyton, prime Mahomes. Who are you taking?
In a regular season? I'm taking Peyton. In the playoffs?
Peyton was a surgeon.
I'm taking Mahomes.
Peyton was a surgeon, my man. All right, so you're going Mahomes playoffs.
Playoffs.
Okay.
Regular season, Peyton Manning might be the best of all time.
Okay.
Things prime, get a little shaky in the playoffs.
Prime Favre. Prime Mahomes.
Oh, Mahomes.
Prime Aikman. Prime Mahomes.
Well, give Mahomes, and no disrespect to the great Troy Aikman, give Mahomes those Cowboy teams and see what happens.
Prime Elway. Prime Mahomes.
That's another tough one.
Elway is pretty damn good.
That's another tough one.
Yeah.
It's not easy. But doesn't it tell you
Who am I missing that's like at that level? I wouldn't do Eli. I wouldn't
Marino.
Yeah, I was going Marino, but Marino never won. He only went to one Super Bowl. I wouldn't go Roethlisberger. I wouldn't do that either, right? I don't think that's a second level, right? I think Eli, even though he's won, you know, those guys have won, but I don't know if they're in the penthouse.
No,
I still think they're second level guys. They have access to the club, but they're not in the penthouse.
But what does it tell you, Alan, that the team we currently root for,
yes,
and we are starving for to finally get that championship, they have to go through a quarterback who right now
yeah.
we are saying toe-to-toe with Elway. I don't know. Toe-to-toe with Rodgers in his prime. Might take Mahomes over those guys, and
I'll
that's the team that the Jets have to get through.
This is what it felt like for Knicks fans when Michael Jordan was terrorizing the league in the early 90s. The Knicks felt like that 93 team, that team won 60 games. Patrick was an MVP candidate, and they couldn't beat Michael Jordan. And if they had, they would have won the championship. Like you understand.
Well, Barkley's Suns that year were pretty damn good,
too. They would have beaten the Suns, trust me. They won 60 games, coached by Pat Riley. The thing is that's what it feels like. This is as good as the Jets have been in well over 20 years. Like, no disrespect to Bart's and Rex's teams from, you know, those two AFC championships,
yeah.
right? 2009 and 2010. They're better than those teams because you have Aaron Rodgers
on paper,
instead of Mark Sanchez.
On paper. We got to see it play out. On paper, right. they should be better than those teams.
I'll go potentially.
Their ceiling is higher.
Should I say potentially better?
We should say that at the start of the season, because I don't know that I felt going into 2009 and 2010 that their ceiling was AFC championship. Where I feel
not in 9, but when they came back for 10, you're like, hell yeah.
But I mean, did we think they were beating Manning and Brady in back to back playoff games? No one thought that at the start of the playoffs.
I disagree.
You thought that
Brady one? No, because they just got smoked by them,
exactly.
And then you were going up to New England, and you had to pull that upset.
Peyton
off,
had beat them the year. Peyton beat them the year before.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
So I think at least entering the season, the ceiling is higher. But when you factor in all that they're up against with all
you
of these,
still
got to
get
AFC?
Past Mahomes, and that's kind of the point. Is, you know, like just circle back to the Nuggets. Denver has Jokic, and the West, like Golden State on the downtick, right? The Lakers, LeBron, older, kind of broken down. You know, KD, it's a new thing. Lucas team, a disaster. Like, it's the right time for Denver to have emerged, whereas for the Jets, you got it all together. You got it all right. Tom Brady's finally out of your division. Oh, but the AFC still has Patrick Mahomes. So that's kind of the thing. The worst thing is when your franchise has its best years and another team is better than you. Like your best years, and you never can just get over the hump as, well, we're the best team in the league that year. And I thought the 93 team was better than the 94 team. And the 93 Knicks team won 60 games and was all about it. Like, that team was really good. and they just went up against the greatest player in the history of the game. Couldn't beat him.
Well, you can say that about the Yankee teams that keep losing in the playoffs, particularly 2019.
Well, you could say it about the Braves that faced those Yankees.
Yeah, the Braves in the late 90s. But the Yankees.
Those are great Braves teams. They just couldn't beat the Yankees.
In 2019, the Yankees, you get to the World Series. Who's waiting for you? I believe that was Washington, right? The Nationals?
Yes.
Could have beaten the Nationals, but you just could not get past a cheating Houston Astros team. Yankees in, you know, last postseason. We could say if guys didn't get hurt, maybe they get past the Astros. Maybe they beat the Phillies in the World Series. The Yankees went through the same thing the last 6 years. You are plenty good enough compared to like what you had been prior to that. But it's just that one team you just can't get you can't get them out of your way.
It's so maddening. Let's 800-919-3776. We got Steve in the truck on the Jets. What's up, Steve?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How you guys doing?
All right.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Real quick, so Ty, real quick, man. I love your commentary, man. When you cover for guys,
thank you, man.
I don't hear you all the time, but when I do, I love your commentary, especially on football.
Appreciate you, man.
You know, so I'm glad you're on the show covering for Bart.
Thank you, man.
I am too.
So I a little list of teams that I think, and outside of like the Kansas Cities and the Cincinnati's, I'm a diehard Jets fan. I'm excited. I'm happy we got Rodgers. I think we're going to do great. But I think we got to watch out for one, Jacksonville,
yes.
Two, Pittsburgh, and the Chargers. But I don't think you could sleep on Mike Tomlin, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then the way Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback.
That's the team I'm worried about. Yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence and what they've got going on there, the experience they had last year. Yeah, you don't overlook those teams.
Right.
You can't. But that also tells you a lot about the AFC, doesn't it, Steve? Thanks for the call, my man. Like, that tells you so much about the AFC. And again, it goes back to if you're a Jets fan, you go, sure, we finally get it right. The AFC is a juggernaut. It's as good as it's been in years. Like, now you're dealing with this. But look, it'll make it that much sweeter when you get through this. And the gauntlet also means everybody's got to play each other. So it's not like you have to play all of these teams. You only got to play two of them.
Yeah.
Think about it that way, too. If you win the division, you only got to play two.
Which is why the division is so important.
And somebody else has to play two. And they'll knock those two out. So it just depends on what your bracket is and what two you got to face.
And that's what makes what the NFL has done with the one seed, only the one team getting the bye.
Yes.
Makes the season so much more fascinating where you really have to capitalize on not just the home field, but playing the fewer game. Because I know this is, obvious, but anything can happen in one game. And if you're the Jets, especially with an older quarterback, you got to find the path of least resistance, which is why I'm so excited for week one.
Mm-hmm.
It terrifies me because you got two games against the Bills, one home, one away. The first one being at home, doesn't it set you up for if you lose that home game, why do I have confidence you're going to go to Buffalo and win? So you kind of have to win that game. It's not a must win. It's week one.
But it feels
like there's
it.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
You falling down 0-1 in the division against a team you're battling for at home. That is a huge game.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Call him out on the lyrics. Did you hear him try to say NBA? He's going to sing now?
Yeah. And in the NBA, I can't be doing too much, man.
That's right. You got to watch your voice.
I gotta watch out.
Is that what happens? We had you do four straight days, and like your voice is already breaking down. Like you need to get in better shape. are you Anthony Davis?
That's
like we
good.
Get like one or two games, and That's then like we don't know if we're gonna get a good performance out of you after that.
I'm the Kawhi Leonard of the station. you start using
management?
Me too much, and my body's breaking down.
Giancarlo Butler.
Giancarlo Butler.
Oh man, yeah. Oh god.
Which is my least favorite story of every baseball season. We hear Aaron Boone say, "Oh, we're gonna try to get him to play the field more, open up that DH spot."
Why do we do this?
He gets hurt, and he's gonna be DH in the rest of the season.
But and that's what he should be doing.
No, he should be playing the field. I don't understand how we've accepted this guy's 33.
Yeah, we do treat him like he's fragile.
We act like he's 40. He's 33. and every year, can't really play the field. He won an MVP. That's why baseball gets such a bad rap. You had Masahiro Tanaka like 6 years ago.
Guys.
Blew out both his hamstrings running 90 feet to home plate on a sack fly.
Yes.
Running like 5 miles per hour, blew out both of his hamstrings. And then you wonder why other athletes don't really have that much respect for baseball. And I love baseball. But to have
we have reached a point in this sport where there's a player who, when you look at him, I mean, is this man not built like Adonis?
Exactly.
Like you look at him and you're thinking to yourself, that is the fittest man in the sport. Like, how is it that he and Bartolo Colon played the same sport? How's that possible? Like, there's no way in hell they play the same sport, but they do. Like, you see, Nestor Cortez should never shower next to Stanton, ever.
Never.
Like, no chance. If I was Nestor Cortez, I'm like, I am not, no, that dude, I'm waiting till he leaves, because I don't need that. Like,
and that's the issue. We got these guys.
But yet, we are like, well, you know, you really don't want to play him a lot in the outfield. Why?
Well, a couple of
years
ago.
What is he doing in the outfield? He's standing there. And every now and then, he might have to jog to something, raise his arm, and make a catch. That's it. And yet, we can't play him.
Former league MVP.
It's a Pinstripe Report. It's brought to you by Samuel Institute for Pain Management, by the way.
He's 33. I remember a couple years ago with Judge.
He is back with the Yankees, though.
Judge, it was, I don't know, man, might be swinging too hard. That's leading to all the injuries.
And now IKF is jumping out of his shoes to swing so he can get a little power.
What
the
are
game,
we even talking
it really
about?
Is a bizarre game, isn't it?
I can't get over the Tanaka injury. That was against the Mets at Citi Field.
Well,
and
the bigger Tanaka injury was the fact that he had a torn UCL and pitched through it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And it never, ever gave out.
And Playo Tanaka was a legend in himself.
He was for real.
Yankees just couldn't score enough runs for him.
Could
you imagine blowing out both your hamstrings just running from third to home?
Honestly, I can't. I don't want to. But no, like that's the stuff that I just don't. I don't know.
That's what makes baseball
memeable.
Couldn't
Stanton get to a point in life where he understands that I don't like? So whatever he did to physically make himself as big as he is, that wasn't a good idea. You know, there are ways to just stop lifting. And just go straight yoga, Pilates, like nothing other than just elasticity.
Yeah, but right? Then you're kind of admitting that you're soft. No, with all due respect.
What are you talking about? Do you want to play and be effective, or do you want to be the guy that everybody looks like?
I'm sorry. You should be able to lift weights and play. With as good a shape as you're in, and you're one of the best baseball, when you're healthy, one of the best baseball players on the planet, you should be able to withstand a month stretch of the season playing the outfield.
Well, the right answer would have been no, because I really don't want a thinner, less powerful Stanton, because I don't need a guy to hit pop flies and ground out a lot. Like, I need a guy that can hit at 400 feet.
Hit bombs.
Yeah, that's what he's here for. So he is the perpetual DH.
We just made the Yankee Pinstripe Report just urinating all over Giancarlo Stanton, who's returning to the
lineup. And that is
the
Pinstripe Report. It's brought to you by Samuel Institute
for
Pain Management.
Love you, Giancarlo.
Listen, it's pain management. This is what we're talking about. For a pain-free life, G. Stanton, just visit samuelpain.com today. And a series in L.A. against the Dodgers, a very classic one, begins tonight. And it's a big weekend. We'll do Can't Wait later in the show. But right now, Ty Butler, you know what time it is. Do you know what time it is?
I do know what time it is.
What time is it?
That means it's the power hour, hour.
No. That's not what time it is.
Oh, no, it's not.
I almost feel like we have to remove him from the show. Like, I don't think we let him get to the weekend.
Should we put him in timeout now?
I tried to put a fast one on you, and I hit the wrong drop.
You definitely did.
I hit the wrong drop.
It is. Don't you start moving that cursor around. I'm watching you. I can see this.
See, that's a real congratulations. You played yourself. Because I wanted to get out of doing it. My voice doesn't feel great today.
I want your voice to crack so bad now.
Let me hit the drop, and then I hit the wrong drop.
Well, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files. I'm protecting my audio file.
It held up. I'm very impressed.
I had
very
to protect good. It there.
No, you did well. You did just fine. All right, so NBA Finals last night, Denver wins, Jokic plays phenomenal. He and Jamal Murray, by the way, both played great. The Heat struggled to make their shots. They missed a ton. They were 5 for 16 on wide open threes. That was what they did all playoffs. They made open threes. Max Strus was 0 for 9 from downtown. He was 0 for 10 overall in the game. It was embarrassing. Caleb Martin couldn't make a shot. Fourth quarter, though, they started making shots. So what do they need in game two? Well, they need to make shots, but would it help if they got Tyler Hero back, a 20-point-per-game scorer, to take some of the pressure off of Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo? Here's Woj with the latest on the return or potential return of Tyler Hero.
I'm told that Sunday's game two looms is a possible re-entry for Tyler Hero back into these playoffs. He's been out with that fractured hand. They need to be able to score the ball to keep up with this Denver team. Tyler Hero, 20 points a game in the regular season for the Heat. But I'm told if it is not Sunday, then there's a lot of confidence that Tyler Hero would be back for game three when this series returns to Miami on Wednesday.
So Wednesday, so you're talking about a whole week now. So, you know, for him, it's even more time to wait to play game three at home. That might be the better scenario overall, but I think if he's ready to go Sunday, they'll play him. Now, Ty, will it make an impact? Will it make a difference?
Of course it does. The Miami, all year long during the regular season, had a scoring problem in the playoffs. Hasn't seemed to affect them because they've just decided to, you know, rein it in from three.
Yep.
But having an additional body, another wing against this loaded Denver team, I don't know how effective he's going to be. But you know, if he can give you something, then that'll obviously be a benefit to them. I'm just impressed with, I don't know if you heard in that soundbite there, Woj did his best job competing with Lil Uzi Vert in the background because that thing was blaring.
Yes. Well, he was in the arena when he was doing this hit, so it was pretty loud in the building.
It's blaring.
He was also dealing with the altitude as well. You can hear Woj really forcing it. The lungs just weren't there yet.
What is
Woj
it?
Woj getting into shape as well on the trip. All right. So we told you today, speaking of Woj, that Woj reported that Frank Vogel will now be the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns. So he will replace Monty Williams, who ended up going to Detroit. And so this is, again, the music stops. All the chairs are almost filled. Toronto's job is still open. Toronto used to have Nick Nurse, who now yesterday was introduced as the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. And while the thing that Nurse wanted to talk about was how to get the Sixers over the hump of the second round of the playoffs, which they haven't been able to do, people in Philly wanted to know, what's going on with James Harden, and do you want him here? And the exchange got a little testy.
Do you want James Harden back?
Pardon me?
Do you want James Harden back?
James Harden's a great player.
That didn't answer the question.
Well, I would say this, is that James has a decision to make, and I'd be very happy if he came back.
Oh, is that with lukewarm or cold? How did you feel that response?
Well, first of all, the pardon me, people do this. You heard the question.
Pardon? Well, that buys you time.
It buys you time to come up with an answer, and your answer still sucked.
I think he gave you an answer without giving you an answer. The BS translator says,
"Yeah, no, I don't want him back."
Yeah, if he wants to stay, I guess. But I'm not going to say I don't want him because that's a big story if I say that. But I ain't begging for him either.
It's a bad
Nick
player.
Nurse refused. Nick Nurse was like, "Yeah, if she wants to go out, yeah, I'll go out with her." But he didn't really want to.
Daryl Morey still has a great relationship with James Harden. So
not as great as it used to be. But
you know, this is a guy he sought after at the deadline last year. We would love to retain him.
They know he's going.
But he's going to Houston.
He's going to Houston. He's going to take the bag, and he's going to have all the pressure taken off him. He wants the ball. He wants to be the man. That's the way he wants to play. He tried being the facilitator. He tried being the guy that feeds other people and plays out. He don't like it. This is what he likes. He's going home. That makes sense. That's what he wants to do. So is Fred VanVleet the guy now that Nick Nurse lures with him from Toronto to fill that void? And now your backcourt is Fred VanVleet and Tyrese Maxey with Joel Embiid at center.
That's not solving much.
No.
That is not solving much. All right. He's a really good player for depth, but you still need another star. We know Harden wants to go back to Houston with the strippers and Lil Baby and hang out till 4
o'clock. He's got all that, right. His jersey is retired there in the club anyway. All right, so continue on audio files. Stephen A. on Stephen A.'s World earlier, we played you Peyton Manning. Josh Hart made an appearance on Stephen A.'s World as well during game one of the NBA Finals last night. And as you and I talked about previously, as we saw his tweet, his wife, they just had their first children. They had twins. And he randomly asked this question that even Jalen Brunson was kind of like, lose my number. And it's just like, have you ever tried your partner's breast milk? And you and I had a conversation about this. Your answer is you did.
I did on accident.
Yours was accidentally. I as well experienced it accidentally at first and then decided I liked it so much I went back to the tap. And I figured, why not? Out of the bottle, out of the fridge, bad idea. For anybody wondering who hasn't done it yet, I can just tell you from experience, not a good place to go. If you're going to try it, from the tap. Trust me on that. You can thank me later. So Stephen A. had to get into it, Josh Hart, about this whole thing. And Josh Hart's explanation is well worth your time.
I put out a tweet yesterday because you had to, I don't know what the hell you were thinking about asking folks what it's like that you ever drank breast milk. What was that about? What was that about, Josh Hart?
First off, I know every new father has wondered this. So it was brought, we had family and friends over. It was brought up. I never did it.
Right.
Somehow I got finessed into doing a little milk taste test. You know, I'm not gonna lie, it was exceptional. It was like sweet almond milk. Yeah. You know, I don't think I'm not gonna use that in my cereal or anything like that. But I mean, it was, you know, a couple of sips. You know, it was solid, bro. My brother used to try it.
So it wasn't that bad. So even though you didn't try it,
it was smooth.
So you didn't try it, but you ended up trying it.
Yeah, I wasn't going to. I was really against it, right. But you know what I mean. It happened, and you know, I'm not mad I did it. You know, it was.
All right, so Josh Hart is now synonymous with breast milk. I just want you to know that. Now, I just want you to know
that. If I shoot 45% from three, it might be because of that. You might see that be a new trend, my brother. I might be a trendsetter.
If you found out it could give you, like, it could open up your mind, not even superpowers, but if, let's just say, you experienced it and it became like, I have just so much more clarity. Like, my recall is so much quicker, and I'm just, my mind is clear. I can do math problems. Like, you just turn into a beautiful mind. If that was fact, I mean, would you be a regular?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, are you right?
If breast milk becomes like the new trip to Mecca. Hell yeah! Opens up your mind. I mean, now so I think it should not be
something that is like the way we're speaking about it, it's so taboo. It should not be taboo, in my opinion.
You think they should just start selling it at the local deli?
No. I think it's a very private thing. It should be exclusive.
Sell it in the train stations.
No,
you know,
I
they
do
sell
that.
It the churros.
Definitely wouldn't do that.
Sell it at the train station.
Wouldn't do that. I mean, there is Erica Badu. I mean, she sells her own essence.
Yeah, she does. Erica Badu.
That's a little different.
She's very unique.
Oh,
very
that's one,
unique.
That's one way to describe her. But she's no Janelle Monáe.
Oh, she's not.
All right, that's audio files. And there's no audio files like this one.
Janelle Monáe. And now you got me thinking about that video.
Yeah, I'll give you a minute. 800-919-3776.
All I need is 10 seconds, my G.
I bet. And all Adam Silver needed was 40 seconds to say some things about the Ja Morant situation. That has a lot of people around the NBA wondering just how harsh is this punishment going to be. You'll hear that next.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
See, Ty, that's a compliment to you, by the way.
What's that?
Because that's no, I'm serious. And Bart and I do this a lot. We forget we're doing a radio show.
It's also scary sometimes because there are certain phrases and
yes.
things
you get a little
that you
too
can't,
casual with the language.
Yeah, you get a little loose lips.
Yes, you get casual with the language and then realize, yeah.
Actually, I had to dump myself before as a producer, yeah.
Did you?
I got a little comfortable with Dave Rothenberg. I don't remember what I said, but I had to dump myself.
You know things are bad.
Yeah.
Anyways.
The producer shouldn't dump himself. Like,
no.
You should know the rules.
No, you probably shouldn't. Yeah. Not a good practice. But yeah, but that just the fact that we could kick things around the way we did and then forget, oh, that's right, we have things that we have to say on the air is a good thing. That means we're having a great conversation.
Yeah, and you have this list today that
we'll
just annoyed me.
I did a top five. Man. I did a top five again on Get Up, and for the second consecutive day, most of America thinks I'm an idiot.
Well, I mean, yesterday,
which is pretty much what you're looking for in these things, right?
Yesterday, you had the most overrated 4-point performance in NBA history. And now today, you've got something else going.
Most overrated 4-point performance.
Four-point performance, I mean, in NBA Finals history.
I you know, I'm going to make you say that to New York City. I'm really going to make you.
I mean, a guy scored 4 points in the finals, and it's like, oh, let's throw a parade.
Yeah, you know what?
They literally did throw a parade.
Your counter to that was Max Strus is going to score 4 points in the finals.
Oh, he did.
How'd that happen?
He sucked yesterday.
See?
I mean, open miss after OC,
Willis,
that's karma.
Is in heaven looking down at you going, watch what I'm going to do. I'll show you how hard it is to score 4 points in NBA finals. Anyways,
well, Bam did it in the first 90 seconds of the game. So
yes,
there you go.
And he had two quads.
That's
unlike Willis, who had one.
Let's put Bam Adebayo atop our greatest NBA Finals performance of all time list.
Yeah, you're really gonna lose this one, just so you know. But on what's not a laughing matter is the Ja Morant situation. And so Adam Silver, as he does every year before the NBA Finals opened, he had his media address. And all questions were, of course, asked, and that includes, okay, so has the league done any investigation into Ja Morant and that whole thing on the video that he was caught on, the live IG that he was caught on flashing a gun after already meeting with Silver face-to-face and Silver letting him know, like, this has got to stop. We can't act like this. And he gave him an 8-game suspension, but he already had 6 games time served. So it really was 2 games after meeting Adam Silver, and then he let him back in the league. Or they let him play. And so the media was curious to see from Adam Silver, is there anything on this and when will we hear? And Silver's response, if you listen carefully, is very interesting.
In terms of the timing, we've uncovered a fair amount of additional information. I think since I was still asked about the situation, I would say we probably could have brought it to a head now, but we made the decision, and I believe the Players Association agrees with us, that it would be unfair to these players and these teams in the middle of the series to announce the results of that investigation. And given that we're, of course, in the offseason, he has now been suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies indefinitely, and so nothing would have changed anyway in the next few weeks. It seemed better to park that at the moment, at least any public announcement. And my sense now is that shortly after the conclusion of the finals, we will announce the outcome of that investigation.
All right, so a couple of things here, Ty. First and foremost, he made it clear that they have been talking with the players' union. So they're including the union. That doesn't normally happen. Usually it's we hand out a punishment and then the union can appeal if they want to. But this is a little different. This is... Now, let's work with you because clearly we all agree this kid needs help.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to do something here. And we're going to have to do something. And you're going to either have to be with us or against us on this. So let's get on the same page. That shows you just how serious they're taking this.
And the first suspension obviously didn't work.
No, it did nothing.
Because
he
came back, said all the right things. And then even after the playoffs.
Lied to all of us.
Even after the playoffs when the Lakers bounced him. He said he took some accountability and said, you know what, a lot of the distractions I brought to the team that stymied us. And then for us to, a week or two later, see that video pop up, it's like, dude, what are you doing here?
Still doesn't get it. So the other thing that I found interesting was we're not announcing it during the finals. Oh, you didn't want to announce it. They could have announced it before the finals because clearly they already know what they're going to do. And the finals just started last night. You had 2 days. If it was 10, 15 games, it wouldn't have dominated the finals. I even think if it was 20 games, it wouldn't dominate the finals. It must be significant for Adam to feel like, let's let the finals play out so that this isn't a story that is getting more headlines than the finals are. And then we'll let you know when the finals are over. And they'll want to do it before the draft because they'll want the draft to then push it aside because Victor Wembanyama is too big of a story for anyone to give a damn about a suspension. So what I read out of that is the league will announce something the minute the finals is over before the draft and hope it kind of gets lost in the laundry of this great draft that's coming up and Scoot Henderson and Victor Wembanyama and everybody else. But I said on Get Up, I think it's going to be a year.
An entire year?
Now, I think it's a year with an asterisk that there is something that they will do with him. Now, I'm going to explain what I mean on the other side here because this is too serious of a thing to just throw out there and then go to break. But this is a serious conversation with John Morant, but it just lets you know the league is not playing around. This is not going to be just a handful of games and move on. There's a reason why they're holding this back until after the final.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.